Hi. We're here today to start looking at Tao Te Ching Chapter 10. Tao Te Ching Chapter 10 is actually quite deep, and it would be a disservice to go over it quickly in half an hour. So we're going to go over it in parts, and I'm going to be using two translations. Of course, I'm going to use the translation by Regina Don Akers. And then I'm going to use this translation called The Wisdom of Lao Tzu. The copyright on this translation is 1948 by Lin Yu Tang. I don't know if you can see that up there. Copyright 1948 by Lin Yu Tang. So these are the two translations I'm going to use to look at Chapter 10. First, I'll read chapter 10 from my translation, then I'll read chapter 10 from Lin's translation, and then we'll start breaking it down and looking at just a piece of it. So I titled this Mystic Virtue. Can you seek the soul, embrace oneness, and never leave it? Can you breathe consciously until you reach inner softness and become like a baby? Can you allow your mind to be purified until you are nearly flawless? Can you love the community and lead the people without controlling anything? Can you open to the way and be entirely receptive? Can you allow yourself to know nothing and let clarity arise on its own? Create and care for without possessing. Do without attachment. Lead without control. This is called mystic virtue. All right, let's look at Lin's translation of chapter 10. Lin titled it Embracing the One. In embracing the one with your soul, can you never forsake the Tao? In controlling your vital force to achieve gentleness, can you become like the newborn child? In cleansing and purifying your mystic vision, can you strive after perfection? In loving the people and governing the kingdom, can you rule without interference? In opening and shutting the gate of heaven, can you play the part of the female? In comprehending all knowledge, can you renounce the mind? To give birth, to nourish, to give birth without taking possession, to act without appropriation, to be chief among men without managing them. This is the mystic virtue. So let's start by looking at just the first question. One thing I want to say about this particular chapter is that I perceive this chapter as an invitation. In other words, I don't hear the chapter saying in this way, you know, can you seek the soul, embrace oneness, and never leave it? That's not what I hear. Like, what's wrong with you? Can't you do this? You know, you're less than. That's not what I hear. I don't hear a scolding. I don't hear a comparison, right? What I hear is an invitation, a calling, a very peaceful, gentle voice. Can you seek the soul, embrace oneness, and never leave it? Can you, it's an invitation to come and do that. It's an invitation to seek the soul. It's an invitation to embrace oneness. It's an invitation to then stay there in that oneness and never leave it. Can you seek the soul? Embrace oneness and never leave it. That's the only line we're going to really look at today, because there's quite a bit in that particular line. The first question might be, what is to seek the soul? What is the soul? I think some other good words for soul here are the heart, the center, the real. So much of our life is surfacey and just perception, point of view. It's not very deep. You know, if you pay attention to the mind at all, you'll notice that the mind jumps around from one subject to another subject, even from one point of view to another point of view. The mind is very surfacey. The mind is very shallow. That's a good word for it. The mind is very shallow. And most humans spend pretty much all of their time in that shallow mind. So what this is inviting us to do is to go deeper than the shallow mind. Go beyond the individual point of view perceptions into something more real, more lasting, you could even say eternal, more substantial, to be centered there. So how do you do that? Well, I think the second line, which we'll look at next time, is going to be helpful. But I think that one thing that is super important to seeking the soul or seeking the real is intention. An intention to know the truth, or to know the real, or to know the eternal, and to be centered there is extremely powerful. And it's an intention that most people on the planet do not have. So it takes us on a journey that is different from the surface walking that most people are doing. And this first line is an invitation for us to begin that journey. And of course, if we're contemplating the Tao Te Ching, we are beginning that journey if we aren't further along the way already. So this is asking us, can you first have that intention to seek the soul? Can you first have that intention to know the real? Or we could even say, can you first have that intention to find the Tao? Because at first, maybe sometimes we feel like we can't even find it, even though it's everything and everywhere. Somehow we feel lost and like we can't find it. So can you have that intention to find the Tao, and then to learn to intuit the Tao, communicate with the Tao, be in touch with the Tao, and then stay there? Right? That's what this is asking. Can you have that intention? Just the intention. Can you seek the soul? And then it says, embrace oneness. This tells us that the soul and oneness are the same thing. And of course, oneness implies not separation. Not me and it, or me and them. Oneness. So when I seek the soul, when I follow that journey, follow that intention, and find that oneness that is the Tao, can I embrace it? Can I be grateful for it? Can I love it? Can I feel devotion with it? Can I seek the soul, embrace the oneness? And then it says, and never leave it. So that seems to imply that what can happen on this journey, even with the intention to find the truth, there can be times where we can touch it, but then leave it again. And I think that's probably very common. I think that probably what we often do, maybe we have this special time in the morning where we sit down in meditation or contemplation, and we do touch it, right? We feel it. We embrace it. We love it. We're devoted to it. But then, you know, the day is calling us. We go out into our day and we forget about it. And we start judging based on an individual point of view. We start wanting things our way, you know, and we have grievances against people who seem to be in the way of our way and all of that other stuff. This is saying, can you seek the soul? Embrace oneness and never leave it. So when we get out of our chair or off of our meditation cushion, can we stay with it? Again, intention is really important here. My experience is that when we first start with this intention, there's a lot of slipping and sliding around. A lot of times that we forget. We may even go hours and hours and even forget our intention to stay with it, not even think about our intention to stay with it. But if every morning when we're in that devotion time, if we reaffirm this intention, what begins to happen is that as we go throughout the day, we start remembering that we want to stay with it, stay centered, stay aware of the Tao. And there are a lot of stages that we go through in this process, but we'll go through stages of, let's say, getting annoyed with someone, then feeling guilty for having forgotten our intention, but then remembering the intention at that point. And maybe going back quietly, forgiving ourselves for slipping. And maybe looking at what happened, you know, what thought, what idea got my attention so that I went off on that path for a time. There's a whole host of spiritual practices that we can learn that will help us look at our slips and slides, learn from our slips and slides, so that we learn to be more steady with our intention. And with some time and with some practice, eventually we start finding ourselves there with that intention throughout the day and not really forgetting anymore. Can you seek the soul, embrace the oneness, and never leave it? That is an invitation to have that intention. The intention to seek the soul. The intention to touch and embrace oneness, love it, be grateful for it. And the intention to never leave it. This is where everything starts, is with intention. In fact, intention is very powerful. That's why this invitation is so important. It's important for us to feel our desire to say yes to this invitation. It's important for us to know that this is something I want to do with my life. I'm going to look at Lynn's translation of the first line again. In embracing the one with your soul, can you never forsake the Tao? So here, the way this is asked is, when we are there, can we have the intention to stay there? That kind of reminds me of something that's in the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament at Matthew chapter 13, NTI Matthew chapter 13. There in that chapter, it basically tells us that we are going to forget our intention. But it says that whenever we remember, that's the time to practice it. So when I am remembering, oh, that's right. My intention is to embrace oneness and never leave it. Do I go right back to practicing then? If I practice every time I remember, the remembering itself extends. That's what NTI Matthew chapter 13 says in the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. If I practice every time I remember, the remembering itself extends. So maybe I forgot my intention for a while and I did become annoyed with someone, but now I'm remembering. And while I'm remembering, how can I stay centered in the Tao now? Forgive my forgetting. Be grateful that I'm remembering now. Maybe take a couple of breaths, let go of my annoyance, let go of my guilt. And maybe just return myself to the present. Or maybe pull back and take some time and inquire what happened. Why was I annoyed? What was I believing? Where was my attention? When we are remembering, what we are to do will come to us. And again, if we practice every time we remember, the remembering itself will expand, will extend, will remember more. So the invitation, can you seek the soul, embrace oneness, and never leave it? Can you have that intention? You know, one thing that I want to say is that I know a lot of people who do have that intention. And I also know that they judge themselves heavily for for getting annoyed, for not liking certain people, et cetera, et cetera. And often they even compare themselves to someone who they think is better than them at staying in touch with the Tao, remaining with the truth. It's important to realize that the intention is very pure, meaning that the intention itself does not judge us for slipping away from the intention. So when we are truly in touch with our intention, there may be a desire to learn from our slip, but there's no judgment of our slip. If you look at a child that's learning to walk, you know, a baby, notice that a baby falls down all the time when they're learning to walk. But have you ever seen a baby talk about what a stupid jerk it is and how it will never learn to walk because it falls down all the time? Or are babies driven by nature to just keep trying? And unless there's some kind of a defect happening, which is very rare, don't all babies learn to walk? Maybe some a little earlier, some a little later. But don't they all learn to walk? And doesn't walk become so natural that it's not ever thought about again? We just walk. That same nature that calls a baby to walk, guides the baby through the process of learning to walk, and is there as we're walking and not even thinking about it. That same nature is the Tao. That same nature is the Tao. And it's there to help us know it as the truth. It's there to help us find it, learn to touch it, embrace it, and stay with it. And just like the baby, we may fall down a lot, but there's no judgment in it. And if we can remember that, if we can remember that it's just like learning to walk again, then every time we slip and we notice that we've slipped, we just pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and go right back to the intention. Right back to seeking the Tao, embracing oneness and never leaving the intention. And we will fall down many, many times. But we did when we were learning to walk too. So I think the assignment to follow this video is the assignment of contemplating our desire to hold to this intention. Just notice that it is something that we want to do. And to recognize that in our, you know, mind's judgment, we're not going to be perfect at holding the intention. And remember, we weren't perfect when we were learning to walk either. But we did learn to walk. And we will learn to remain centered in the Tao. Just contemplate this. And if you want to start practicing, then what you can do is continue to practice by noticing self-will. Notice when you find yourself wanting something your way or wanting credit where credit is due by God, wanting to be noticed, wanting to be cherished, wanting to be respected, wanting to be seen. And when self-will arises in any of these ways or any other ways, just say, okay, that is self-will. I see that is self-will. And then simply remember, my intention is to seek the soul and embrace oneness. Is there individual self-will and oneness? What is oneness? Can I know oneness? Begin to contemplate your intention. Just contemplate your intention. Just allow that desire to thrive in you. I guess that's it for today. I'll just read this line to you again. Can you seek the soul, embrace oneness, and never leave it? And then in my next video, we'll move on to the next line in chapter 10. So again, we'll be here with chapter 10 for a while, but I think it's really valuable. See you later. Bye.